How did you get into that film? And are you glad that you did?
Glad in the way that it opened those doors, but it also, I don't know, sometimes we laugh about it at home, we call it the curse of the full Monty, which I know sounds a bit like, a bit spoilt really, but it caused a lot of problems as well, in that I could never have anticipated. Because I wasn't anticipating it to be so huge. I just thought, you know, I'm just doing a job for 9 weeks. It'll go hit the cinema for a couple of weeks and then go to video. And then everybody will forget about it and I'll carry on. That was my naivety at the time. But it had knock-on effects, personal effects. My father suffered bipolar and it sent him into a real spin. The idea that, you know, I was getting all this attention and that, you know. By Christmas of 97, he was convinced that I was the next Messiah, which was, you know, very nice of him to say, but you know, he was getting messages from Terry Wogan telling him that I was the next Messiah and that there's a star above my house. I know it is comical and, you know, we do laugh about it, but at the time it knocked the stuffing out of him a bit, really. He was hospitalised that Christmas. He spent that Christmas in hospital. In my opinion, he never really regained his strength after that and died in 2000. And, you know, I do feel that I did, that my actions of signing that contract possibly contributed to his ill health. But I don't whip myself over that. I think it's, you can't anticipate these things, can you?
Is that a springboard, you know, in a conscious or unconscious way for the work that you do now?
Not necessarily. It wasn't a springboard for it, but it's just that I've, when I look back on things, I have been living with, around different levels of mental illness most of my life, really. I mean, my dad really took a turn for the worse after the miners' strike, because he was very involved in campaigning and fundraising, and you know, he was quite politically involved. And when the miners' strike collapsed, that it did him in, really. Mm. You know, he was hospitalised for quite a while.
Was he a miner? Was he in the industry?
He'd worked in the pits when he was about 18, briefly. But, you know, he had a lot of solidarity with them. He was a trade unionist. And ironically enough, when he was hospitalised, I think he was in what was the round A wing at St. James's.
Jimmy's.
Yeah. He was in there, went to visit him there, and he was on the same ward with about half a dozen miners, which was quite shocking at the time, you know, because I just couldn't help but think, hold on a minute, this isn't local, this is national. Mm. Up and down the country, the hospitals are going to be full of miners and their families and people who've been associated with the strike, you know, people whose livelihood it crushed. And I'd just been working in Doncaster, which was, you know, obviously the centre of the South Yorkshire coalfield, and I don't know whether it was just me, but I found it strangely ironic and pretty sickening to see buses driving around the town with big pictures of Meryl Streep looking like Margaret Thatcher. I think this is too bloody surreal.
Yes, yeah. You
know? It's just how things turn around in one generation.
You talk about the curse of the full Monty. Some positive spin-offs?
Oh, definitely. More positive than negative. Yeah. Right. Most definitely. You know, it helps me to, well, the industry recognised that I could do the job, so it made getting work easier for me, even though it did pigeonhole me, because on the whole, casting directors don't have much imagination, in my opinion. The CEO is one thing, and therefore, you know, whenever they want that type of character, then they'll think, Hewison, he can play gay, northern, lives with his mother, security guard type character. You know, so for quite a few years after the full Monty, that's all I was being seen for. But I think I've managed to break that mould now.